Sir, can you hear?
Yes, sir. We can hear you. Not loud, but we can hear you, sir.
How about now, sir?
It's the same volume. You pushed the volume up on my end.
Hello, sir. The speakerphone is not working properly.
Well, Mr. Miller, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine, but...
I've got on my end.
Yeah.
I have the phone picked up, though.
I think we can hear you. I believe we can hear you well enough, sir. Can we hear you well enough? We can hear you. We're okay on our end, sir.
Yeah.
Hello?
Are you there?
Give me one second. Hello, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
We're ready to get started, sir. The Honorable Mr. Mayor will read this hearing.
Okay.
Okay, sir, does he speak any English?
He does speak English not very fluently. He does understand English. As long as you go slow on, you can understand.
Okay.
But I'm here just in case.
Okay, let's try it this way. I'll read slow, and if he has trouble understanding something, you and I can go back over and start with, you know, massive interpretation, or you can fill him in, if that's all right with you, rather than trying to, you know, read it off a bunch and then you translate the whole thing. Because if he understands the majority of it, you should be able to fill in the gap so that he understands everything.
Correct, yeah.
Okay. So would you have him state his full name and his ABC number for the record?
Joaquin Amelo
Brito. And his ABC number?
132518.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I'm going to go over some information about Mr. Brito and the case and things like that. I'll go slow, and every so often we can stop and make sure he understands everything.
Okay.
And then if he starts losing track of it, in other words, if I'm saying something that he doesn't understand, he can let you know, and I'll slow down and we'll go through that, okay?
Sounds good, sir.
Okay, thank you, sir. I really appreciate your help. Okay, so Mr. Brito is 67 years old, and he is serving a life sentence for first-degree murder that began on January 23rd, 1992. He also has a 15-year consecutive sentence for manslaughter and another 15-year consecutive sentence for sexual assault. He became eligible for parole on November 18th of 2017. He appeared before the board one time on August 9th of 2017, and he was denied. The DOC certified him for this hearing, which is for parole to the next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge, on August 1st, 2018. Also, he has an ICE detainer. So, did he understand all that? Okay. So, Mr. Brito has quite a criminal history. It began in Detroit in 1983. He was convicted of involuntary manslaughter and possession of a firearm. And he was an illegal immigrant from Mexico, and we have no information about any criminal history he might have had there. His record continued drugs, assaults, sale of drugs, forgery, and some lesser charges.
Okay, he's asking, he has asked a question, why the hell you going to tell me now? I don't understand that.
Okay, it says that in Detroit, he was in Detroit, and he had a dispute over the theft of a car battery. And he went to the suspected perpetrator. He had a confrontation with him, and Mr. Brito had a gun. He said it went off accidentally, and they did kill the other person. We in court, it was determined, or they was found guilty of manslaughter rather than being charged with murder, and possession of the firearm, which
he, I believe he understands all of this.
Okay.
He just had a question about you said that he was a illegal immigrant in Mexico?
Well, according to the information I have, he came from Mexico, and he came into the country illegally. At some point in time when he was incarcerated, he met and married an American citizen. And then when he, after he got out of jail, things fell apart, they got divorced. And apparently immigration then decided he no longer had a right to be in the country. And that's why there was an ICE detainer now.
No, he came in 1980 to the Cuba to the United States. He knows the protection to me. I don't have any protection. He said that he's saying that he came in 1980 to be a Cuba. He's a Cuban immigrant, I guess.
Okay.
And he has no deportation.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. That's my error. I thought it was Mexico. But he came from Cuba.
Yeah.
Okay. So but there is an ICE detainer.
Okay. Yeah, he understood that. Also, we went over that.
Okay. Well, that's why there was some time period when he was able to get out of prison without being deported because he had married an American citizen. And then when that fell apart, during that time and the instances is why he was out and not, why immigration hadn't taken charge of it, okay?
Okay.
All right. So I think we've got that part done.
Yeah, you're fine with that.
Okay.
I don't have any protection to Cuba, to Mexico, no place. I will stay in the United States for the Cuba change and go back.
Okay, well, that's fine. That part isn't really an issue other than the fact that there's an ICE detainer. So the offense that he is serving time for now, Mr. Brito was living with the victim's sister in the victim's apartment. And apparently the victim had a boyfriend who was married to him. At least he was a married guy. He said, Mr. Brito said that the night of the occurrence, he was at home with the victim. She was pregnant and knew her manner of days. So he and his friends had a party, and everyone except the victim left to go dancing. And so this is what came out of the pre-sentence report. So it was what he was saying then, not necessarily what he would want to say now. Okay. And this is what he was telling the people, the authorities back at that time. So anyway, his friends and he decided to go dancing, and the victim stayed at home, apparently because of the pregnancy. Later, he was dropped off at the apartment. He claims the victim had seen her boyfriend with another
woman, and so she was upset. He talked to her, to calm her down, and they eventually agreed. Her and I had consensual sex. He stated that he'd been using a large amount of alcohol and had smoked marijuana, and that the victim had also been drinking during that time. Autopsy results showed no alcohol in the victim's system, nor any illegal substances. But Mr. Brito said that he did not kill the victim, but he found the body in the morning and got scared, so he fled and left, went to California, where I believe it said he was there for about a year. Then he went to Texas, and eventually he went back to Detroit, where the manslaughter had occurred. And he was on his area, he was arrested on January 23rd of 1982, which was nearly 2 years after the offense. But the investigation, the autopsy results showed that the victim was standing up when she was stabbed in the upper left portion of her left chest. The stab wound penetrated her heart and some of the major vessels. And the investigation showed that after she was stabbed, and this is based on blood on walls and four different things like that, in the evidence, she was placed on a bed, and that Mr. Brito had sexual intercourse with her while she was laying there on the bed. Her unborn child subsequently died of lack of oxygenated blood, and according to the autopsy report, the baby was days from being born anyway, and so probably could have been saved if medical attention would have been prompt. So at that time, Mr. Brito denied having killed the victim, but he told another prisoner in the Pima County jail that the victim had stolen cocaine from him on several occasions. She was unable to pay for the drugs, so Mr. Brito demanded sex. The victim refused, and when Mr. Brito tried to force her, she screamed and he stabbed her. Mr. Brito was found guilty by a jury, and all of the sentences were aggravated due to the prior manslaughter and weapons convictions. So did that sound pretty correct, Mr. Brito?
No, because he is snitch. He working for the, he is snitching four people. He had a 240 years. For 420 years, this guy is rich. This guy goes to the office, then my lawyer. Then he didn't pay for the lawyer that he didn't pay for the need to me because I don't have a faith with me and the guy here. And this guy reading the paper and is rich to me. I never told him that he killed nobody, ni he taking trouble for me, ni nothing there.
Okay, so he said that the part about him talking to somebody in the county jail is not true.
No, I'm not having no paper in the county jail.
Okay. Let me go on a little bit, and then you'll have an opportunity to tell us a little bit more about what really happened. Okay, sir?
Last time I not told you what happened.
Okay, well, now I've got a little bit more information I'm going to present, and then you will have an opportunity to speak to the board, tell us what happened, and those kind of things, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I just want to go over a little bit of things. It's, Mr. Brito has had moderate discipline. But he had 8 tickets in the last 5 years. One was dismissed, and one he was found not guilty. He had a ticket in July of 2017, 1 month before his first parole hearing. And he had another one for theft 2 months ago. He had some programming, his son as recently as 2015, which is commendable. And we can see these support letters, we do have a victim and victim's advocate here, plus I did not see an opposition letter from the town attorney's office. So, okay, Mr. Brito, now that we've gone over that part of the hearing, it's time I'd like for you to, you can tell us about, you know, what went on, what happened the night of the offense, and then we'll talk about you and your progress in becoming rehabilitated and able to return to the community. Okay, sir?
Okay, they say that I remember that he brought to the bar. He didn't simply play the same home, they didn't sit in the bar. I had one room, he had one room. And he go to the bar. I drink it there a lot. I come back. And she married when she see him, they have one lady with him. And she married. Then they said she drink it there. And she had an argument with me. I don't know. I don't remember what happened, but I never had a sense because I knew it was a sister that she. And the DNA was found, the doctor was found, the spermatozoid and she. He was found a sperma and she. Me and Steve were here for 5 years, and he was found nothing me, only the switch that came to the church next week. He was finding that. If he's not coming, if he doesn't get to come in 5 minutes, I go home. So he feeling, what he's feeling, that the lawyer that he calling and he comes back, he is mentioned to me. And the boyfriend that he said that me, leaving me have a sex, so he might have no evidence to do I have evidence because there are 4 people in this case. In comparison, the DNA, he was finding the DNA than me, he was a evidence that me had a sex with you. We make guilty now because I don't know, I drink so much, I don't know that he, you know, he had argument to me finding things. And he had one knife in the hand and poured in the body. I don't know. See, me looking in the home, the day, me go to my room and sleep in the day, and next day, me go to the store and come to the store and call she, hey, what are you? Hey, come on. And he's dead. This guy is coming to the window, I don't know if he's killed you, I don't know because he don't find the knife, he don't find nothing. And you know, I don't know. I said it, I don't have no trouble, nothing to come in jail, I haven't 28 years in the prison, I don't kill nobody, don't make this money to nobody, don't fight to the police, you know. I changed my life, I have my life to Jesus. Well, you have the paper there. I study, I go to church, I change, I want to go home because I want to see with my kids, tell me about Jesus, I want to work, I want everybody to make me home, you know. I don't want to not know, I want to be in one of the law. I don't want to be in the jail no more. I want to work in the league, go to my court. That's right, I, you know. I said, I give the life to Jesus. I don't want to have a throne to nobody. I show the life of the priest. I don't fight to nobody. He don't have the computer and he fight and he kills and then he take a knife and he fight to people and nothing there. Me show the life. I don't give him the throne. I don't have no throne. He, you know, I enjoy giving one chance to go home and see my family. That's what I wanted. You give to me one chance. They're going, working. And you must want security, go back and go to my country. I don't want to stay for any in the United States. I don't want to have a throne in the United States. I won't see my kids. I thought you wanted to see me. I need a little money because I go work and make a little money because I don't want to go back to the country. I don't have no home, no nothing. And I got to bring you something close. And, you know, it's a little bit for make a little home or something in my phone. I don't want to be in the United States forever. No. I take nobody much in the country over there, the city Chisa, the people that the country that see me, I bring you. I can stay in the United States, but I want to go to the little place. With 1 year, 2 years, and go back. I don't want to stay in the United States forever. No, because I don't like it, because I want to go to my court. Because I have my family over there. Maybe not a people die, my father died, my mother died, I don't have nothing, I don't can teach him, I don't can call him, you nothing because he only died, he's gonna call me and he will kill to me the call, the phone call. Yeah, sure, you know that you lose your mother, you don't get to speak to your father, you lose your father, you don't get to speak it. It's a very evil, but you know, I pray with my heart. I suffer a lot. I have a whole heart, you know. But I told you in the name of Jesus, give me one chance to go home and work a little bit and take my daughter to go see my father. That's what I want. I'm sorry for everything that you did before. So what happened to you is that my first was an accident. And this is now, as a professional, the dog that really said to him, I was talking that because I'm going to have no pain for the back. That's in my hand.
Okay.
I go over there every program, I finish the program, I work, you know. Do you understand me?
Yes, sir. Okay, I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions at this time. Mr. Johnson?
Sir, I had a couple questions. You were arrested for involuntary manslaughter in Detroit, Michigan. So when you were arrested in Detroit, so what happened, because I'm only looking at the pre-sentence report and it looks like you just got into an argument over a battery, is that right? A car battery?
You speaking to me?
Yes, sir.
What did you say about
you got arrested in Detroit, Michigan for manslaughter and went to prison?
Yeah.
And you had a argument over a car battery? So why did you wind up shooting the person?
I go to the jail for, I stay over 2 years, 3 years, and come in 5 years, I go home.
Okay, so, but that was over a car battery that, it just says you went back later that evening and you shot the person.
I don't understand what you're talking about.
Officer, could you just ask him what happened in Detroit, Michigan, why he went back over and shot the guy?
Pues pregunta, yo paso en el Detroit, Michigan, que le explique qué fue lo que pasó con el descargo de una batería, lo que pasó en ese caso, lo, que le explique.
¿La batería?
Sí. En el caso
de... En el Detroit hay no heavy pistola, nothing there. One guy coming, give it to me there. This guy is still $740 and me here. I mean, this time you don't have it. Yeah, we coming to me working down at Texas, driving back, Cuba, go to Detroit. I have a one key, they have a 15 day before it. I have a one key, they have a one year before. And we don't have it. Yeah, I jumped out, he make my money, good money, jumping. First of me looking for a job, and they had a lot of snow there, so I worked in me making my money and working the jumped. And doctors, I went to the office to take a check for the and this guy steal my money. I took all the money in. I told him, please give me my money. I went to the store. I asked him to the store, changing the check. I gave him my name over there, and the guy, see somebody changing my check. And he said, there's a guy changing my check. I go over there and tell him, please give me my money. My money, he drink, he had a good time, and me having a little kids, and worked a lot, I hope for him. And so this one guy, give it to me, one guy, I don't know if he doesn't got a bullet, nothing there. And the cabrera, ¿cómo se llama? And the letter chocó en el rifle y disparó. Me disparó, eso fue lo que pasó. Por eso, I never had a trouble to me, to nobody to me, I never had a trouble in the United States, eso es por tal. And so for why, he told me, I know it's a very bad, the people are speaking for you, the church is speaking to you, good guys, that you work, that you are the people, and you don't have no trouble. So he gave it to me the 5 years. 3 years
ago, we finished the year, we go to Minnesota and finished, and went home.
That's what
happened.
One accident.
So, why did you stab the victim, the female in this case? Why did you stab her?
Yo no apuñalé, que sepa yo no apuñalé. Ya no lo digo yo, y ella, por el sorteo que ella estaba con él, y yo, si me, con el asma, con el boyfriend, porque si no me lo dije, y con el boyfriend, y me mandaron a leer, y él, si me había venido a him before, the first day, because he seen him, they have the same name. And so she said to me, because I never had a trouble with she. I never had a trouble to the family. You know this case. I never had a trouble. I don't know what this one the knife is coming and the first of all, we reach it to the door. I don't know what happened, but I never, I went and made the she
me the family, me too, the family know me. And, you know, me go to sleep the same day. Yeah, I don't know, and then they, what happened? Why me now? Because I don't know if it's him, if the boyfriend killed she, or making the knife to she, or I don't know. I don't remember nothing that. That's why I never signed him guilty, because I'm not sure that I do that, because it's in my friend. I never had a trouble to see him and the family.
Okay, I did hear what you said. I still didn't think I got an answer. Why did you stab the female? Why did you stab her?
Okay, nothing left. I told you I know the man that I take the knife to the kid. I need to be in the lab. I don't know. She may, I don't know what happened.
So, officer, is he saying that he doesn't know why he stabbed her, that he doesn't recall what happened?
He said that he had drank a lot and that he doesn't remember any of that.
So can you ask him, if he doesn't remember any of it, why did he leave and go back to Detroit and was gone for 2 years before he was arrested?
I was seeing my kids.
He went back to see his kids?
That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying.
It's a friend that he saw that. He goes to Detroit. Why did he go? Because he... The state, for example, was, you know, you killed. Nobody did know. It's a friend that he lived or something there, but he was there. No, you killed over the snake. Yeah? He said that me killed, why he told you me. To guilty. But they never found guilty. Well, okay. Now I say, okay, me guilty. What we can do? See, I don't remember nothing there. I'm sorry, but I'm sorry to follow me. I'm sorry for what happened. But you know, you know, I don't want it. Kill nobody. I don't want it. Have it. So, you know, family in the United States, because I have a family. So, well, they asked me, I'm sorry, I don't remember exactly what happened, you know, they found me and the DNA that we had a photo machine in us, and so, well, I don't care if they
say
nothing, I, you know.
All right, thank you, officer.
Uh-huh. Any other questions from the board?
No, you're right.
Yes, so just a very brief question. If I heard him correct earlier, he said that he wanted this board to release him so that he could go home. Where is he saying home is? Is home in Detroit? Is home in Cuba? Where is home for him? What does he mean by home, sir?
Well, he dice que quiere salir para regresar a su casa.
So what did he say he wanted to go? He wants to go back to Cuba or he wants to go here? That's the only thing that I'm asking, just where?
No, quiere salir.
Well, I want to stay in Arizona for a little while, or want to destroy work for 1 year or 2 years and go back to Cuba.
So he wants to go back to Cuba. That's his answer, officer. He wants to go back to Cuba.
Correct. He's saying that he would like to work for a year, stay in Arizona for a short time, go to Detroit, work for a couple of years, and then go to Cuba.
Okay. Thank you so very much. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, sir.
Any other questions from the board?
No.
Okay, are there any other supporters in the boardroom for Mr. Brito? No supporters. Okay, so at this time, it would be time to ask for the victims to come forward.
My mom should never have been, I mean, bury him and her daughter and the pain that we still go through every day. We're gonna go through this every day of our lives missing our sister and our niece that we'll never be able to meet. Every time we went to court, he constantly looked at my family and had this smirk on his face that he didn't care what he did to my sister. He didn't. He doesn't have the right to be on the floor. He just shouldn't. The parole shouldn't. He should be denied. We're facing our life without my sister. He should face what he did and take responsibility for what he did for the rest of his life. He has no right to be out on the street, so he could go and kill somebody else and have that other person feel what we feel. I'd rather have him in jail where I know that he will no longer hurt anybody. And I'm just asking the board, even if I have to come every 6 months, I will be here to make sure that he gets denied every time he tries to get out. But only time I'm not going to be here is if something ever happens to me. That's the only time. Other than that, I will be here because I know I don't want him out of the street. He's on ice, so if he goes back to Cuba, he's going to come back to Arizona. And God knows, he knows where my mother lives. God knows what he's thinking, or what he's going to do to me and my family. And then again, we're going to go into fear again because we don't know where he's at or what he's going to do to me or my family. So in our eyes, and I'm speaking for my mother as well, because she couldn't come because she just, it's just too hard. It's too hard for the family to come. But I'm speaking for her as well, that she doesn't want him on the street. None of my family wants him on the street. He doesn't deserve to be on the street. He doesn't deserve to see his son or his wife or whatever it is that he wants to see. He doesn't deserve to see the light of day. And we did request, when we had the hearing, we did request the death penalty. But because the judge didn't want to do that, she didn't feel right to give the death penalty to anybody, my understanding. She just gave him life in prison for what he did. And to me, that's nothing. And for him to even come and ask to be paroled to go on to his other sentence that he has to do so he can finally complete this when he get out, I understand he's probably going to be like 86 years old that he'll be out. But that's still not enough time. That's still not enough time for what he's done to my sister and how her last hours on this earth. She should not have been through that. And I'm just asking that you just deny that. Do I want her to suffer? Yes, I do. I want her to suffer. Just like we're suffering. We suffer every day when we got this letter in the mail. Everything that we went through and continue to go through just came back, and all the memories and the hurt and the fear and all the hatred that we have for this man all just came back. I'm coming all the way from Tucson. That's a 2.5-hour drive. And I would come here every 6 months for 2.5 drive, or whether it be 3 or 4 hour drive, I don't care. I will be at every parole hearing that he has because I will fight for him to stay in jail.
Thank you.
That was it. Thanks.
Any questions? I have a question or two. You mentioned that you and your family were getting threatening phone calls and stuff during the time he was missing before he was arrested. Have you had any of that since he was arrested and put in jail?
No.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
But So during the time, especially after your mother went on TV, that you were getting, did the person making those phone calls identify themselves at all, or was it just...
No. What he would do is he would go to my aunt's house, because for some reason, I don't know, because he had some kind of attachment to my aunt, and he would go to her house, and he had told her to tell my mother and me that we all better be careful. One, he was after my mother. He said he was going to kill my mother, and then he was going to kill my older sister.
So, and then this, where does your aunt live that he was...
At the time when all this was happening, she lived in Tucson, and it was on the south side, so she lived like maybe 20 minutes away from where we lived at. So every time he would go over there, she would go over there, and she'd be crying and telling us that we need to just be careful and not go anywhere. So for the whole 2.5 years, we all stayed at home. And we would, I mean, yeah, we'd go to the store, but we would always, it wasn't good.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you for coming up from Tucson. That's quite a drive, and we have a note that we were going to call you today. We're going to participate on the phone, and in fact, we were getting ready to dial the phone when you came in. This is the one.
Yeah, I decided to come in person instead of the phone call. I really wanted to be in front of the board, too.
Okay, well, we thank you for appearing, and we wish you the best of luck, and if you have no other questions, thank you.
Excuse me. I can't speak.
In a moment, sir.
No, well, why are they waiting to speak to me?
Okay, sir, just wait a minute. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So now, I'm going to get back to you. There are no supporters for you here, and another victim, or anybody from that side of the argument or discussion. So we're back here, we're nearing the end of your hearing. Before the board goes into discussion to make a decision, we would like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement. Tell us anything you think we should know before we make a decision. We just ask that you don't repeat all the information that we've already covered with new information. Okay, sir?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, now is the time.
Okay. Why did the lady just speak to her there?
Why?
No, what? Why made the lady just speak to you now?
She is one of the victims.
No, why the name is she?
Well, it's the, I believe it was your, I think she was your girlfriend at the time all this happened. No, she just, okay. She's the sister of the victim, and it's Olivia Garcia, which is on the record.
Garcia, what?
What's his name? Olivia Garcia.
Oh, Olivia Garcia. He, why didn't you know he say, well, me and you were there, why didn't you know he say that me, hope to get the family, that me pay the rent for their family that you have in a way, but why didn't you know he say that she coming to take the child with my mom, she, Olivia, and the sister of Olivia, and the la tía de Olivia, what did you say, well, the aunt to go to the prison, why did you hold to the kid and see, why did he pay rent, why did he bring his food to over there, why did he tell the nation that the resident that day? The door of the single and she in the prison, what did you really say there? I'll never get in trouble to this family. What she didn't say in the court, what she is saying now, because she knows that no way every day that we see the sister, because I'll never get in trouble to this family. I go to the home, this family, she's coming to my home, I hope we will be in the weekend, know that family drinks a lot, drinks, smoke, goes dancing, no, they kill the kid. He knows what happened. Now, he say, oh, I know what you want to go to the jail because me coming to the military, the one that you go home. Only God can change the heart of the people. Nobody wants to have a story of the life, but nobody better. Now, me making certain mistakes and the people all the way up, and hope she did it follow me, and now we have a dog wife because I'm drinking and he had arguments to the boyfriend, and there's a mistake coming. That's the accident. But the family goes to the court, he will can say nothing bad about me because I don't have any control over that family. I know that argument by offering to me the neighborhood and with the family, you think you may have had a trouble, the people speak good to me, they never go to the court. You think that she ain't killed, she ain't know that she ain't killed, if he will be a stay over for a day or day night, you think that if somebody kill somebody, go sleep in the room and one people die in the next room? No. Pero ahí no tiene miedo de decir porque el príncipe todo más intenso. Pero usted le sabe lo que dice, no, yo no quiero ir a la prisión porque yo me despegue tu madre. I know that. I'm sorry for that. Pero no todo mi, no van a ir, never will get out because I think si hay estar en la prisión, eso no va a seguir seguir happening. Because everybody will die. I want to go home, I want to see my family, what we can do for their family? See, I for a favor, see, I give or take maybe for them. What we can do for me for making me happy? Nobody be happy. Me no happy. I suffer a lot. My kids suffer because of me in the prison. I don't get to him. I don't get to my mother died. I don't get to my father died. I don't know how many feet to die. I suffer a lot. But we don't remember before what we had a good time in the tree. I know this pain to fight or kill somebody. I know they die. I know that. He knows that in Arizona you have no trouble to nobody. And so the chick comes and says, oh, I don't want to do that. He get out, he cry for making you. Make it better for me that you don't give me chances to me to go home. I don't want to stay in Arizona. I don't want to get out of Arizona. Because, I don't want to remain in that there to have no trouble to the family in that day. I want to feel like you want to be get out. That's what I'm trying. Why don't you not speak in the court then tell me, why don't you not speak, give it to me in any minute about me?
Okay, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay, the board will be going into discussion to make a determination. We will be talking amongst ourselves. We won't be addressing you. But we ask that you stay on the phone. You can hear everything we have to say. But just remain silent while we're in discussion, okay, sir?
Okay, thank you.
All right. What is now discussion? Well, Mr. Vito presents an interesting situation. He says that he doesn't remember what happened because of alcohol and drug use, and it would be the first time that that is the case. But whether he remembers it or not, it did occur. And two lives were taken. And then he left and was on the run for nearly 2.5 years, which, to me as an indication, he doesn't want to be responsible for it. But I guess, as far as being sorry,
and everything, I can kind of cure it in the head and attitude, but I mean, it's already been happening, but I don't get the feeling of truly remorse for what and who it happened to. And also in his comments, I get a feeling that he is more concerned about himself than he is about his victims and his survivors. And I just, at this time, am not, I don't think he's ready for any type of release back in society. But I'm going to listen to discussions from any of my fellow board members if there is any.
I agree with you, Mr. Neal. I think that as a victim representative pointed out, I think if he were deported, he would go back there. So I would also not be in favor.
I agree. I'm not in favor either. I just don't see no remorse coming from this victim about the death of this female, which he just states he doesn't know. He doesn't call, he doesn't remember, but he killed this victim along with a fetus that she still had and then fled for 2 years, but he doesn't remember what happened. But I also want to just make note that he did 2 years of prison in Detroit, Michigan for manslaughter, where he killed somebody over a car battery. So death doesn't seem to be that much for him, and then when he did committed to manslaughter, I know he keeps saying that he wants to go back and visit his son, but I think his son was just a small child. His son was 15 days old when he did the and he killed the man for the in the manslaughter that he got charged with. So I just don't see him doing it. So well, I think he would be, you know, a threat if released because he has no idea about life. And according to the victim witness, he was gone for 2.5 years. And the only way they found out about him is that he went on, their family went on America's Most Wanted. And he was captured through America's Most Wanted. So I'm definitely not think he's a good candidate for release, parole to his next consecutive sentence, and also supportive of having a 1 year set off.
Dr. Wright.
Not in favor, sir.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I do want to make one other comment about this. In the entire process, I didn't hear Mr. Mueller once speak about the baby that was killed in this situation. According to the information, the baby could have been born at any time over the next few days. A very viable baby was there and basically suffocated to death. So at this time, I would like to make a motion to deny Mr. Joaquin Morito, ABC number 1, 3, 2, 5, 8, to deny parole to the next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge at this time with a 1 year set off.
Second.
Agree.
Myself, seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed by Dr. Wright in this room now. Okay, Mr. Brito, the board has voted to deny parole to the next consecutive sentence after discharge at this time, and the reason would be serious and violent offense, loss of human life, serious immediate offense, trauma to the victim, age of one of the victims, serious bodily injury, multiple victims, and due to the overall circumstances, I would have to put victims harassment. You have a history of substance abuse before with alcohol and drugs, a definite history of assaulting behavior,
prior criminal history than you were with Peter Fender on the second manslaughter charge. For lack of programming, he has some retardant in his status, I know that. Not much of a release plan, which is understandable, but it's not there. I know family or community support. And if there's anything else that needs my phone more than I can add on that. Okay, sir. You heard the discussion and the reasons. Do you have any questions about the decision?
Now, what do you mean, like, what do you mean, too, that you
denied, sir? Right, you have been denied any kind of parole to the next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge at this time. In about 1 year, you will be recertified to appear before the board again. And in the meantime, once you get your name program, you can and think about what went on today to see if there's anything you can do to improve yourself between now and the next hearing. All right? This is
the I know the program.
You can take as much programming as you possibly can. That's what our suggestion is. But it's up to you to make a decision on how you want to handle that. So this will be your hearing, sir, and we thank you for appearing, and we thank you for your demeanor today. You were pleasant to deal with. Okay? So would you please put the CO3 back on the phone?
Yes, sir.